I am Plant Online. This is thecommentary.ca. I am joined now by Warren Kinsella. He was a former assistant to Jean Chrétien, and he's written numerous books, including Web of Hate, Fury's Hour, Kicking Ass in Canadian Politics, and most recently, The War Room. He joins me today to discuss the current federal election campaign and more. His very popular blog is at warrenkinsella.com, and he is president of the Daisy Consulting Group. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Warren Kinsella. Good morning, Mr. Kinsella.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
The Paul Martin book. What do you make of all the stuff that Mr. Martin has written about? He's blaming Jean Chrétien, your old boss, for Dion's campaign, or I guess Dion's lack of success, I suppose, on this campaign. Is that correct?
No, that's a lot of crap. And, you know, I don't really care what Paul Martin has to say, and I suspect a lot of Canadians won't either when his book comes out. I think it'll be holding up pianos across the nation when it does. You know, the question is, you know, there was a leak in Le Devoir. You know, maybe that's an accident, but when it shows up in the Globe and Mail as it did this morning, that's a pattern. And you've got leaks in there that seem to be designed to hurt Mr. Chrétien. I can assure you that it doesn't. He is not preoccupied with these kinds of things. The person that hurts is Stéphane Dion. And the question for Mr. Martin and all of the people around him, some of whom profess to be helping out Mr. Dion, is why are they doing this? You know, why are they doing these things right in the middle of an election campaign? It's not very helpful to Stéphane Dion.
Do you think you guys, your camps, the Chrétien camp and the Martin camp, will ever get together and be friends again, or is that impossible?
No, I don't. I just, you know, I've made efforts, I've tried. I remember on the night, as a matter of fact, Paul Martin won the leadership. I was with a group of people, and David Hurley, who was his campaign chairman, came over or was walking by, and I had a Paul Martin pin on my lapel, and I stuck out my hand to shake his hand, and he just looked at it and walked away. And with me and with other people, there's been a whole series of incidents like that in the intervening years. And so I guess, you know, my answer, sadly, I don't say it, you know, with any kind of happiness or what have you, is that no, I don't think this is ever going to get solved, because, you know, incidents like the one you questioned me about, you know, releasing a book in the middle of an election campaign that doesn't hurt Jean Chrétien, hurts Stéphane Dion.
Are you enjoying this campaign so far?
Yeah, it's fun. I'm kind of hanging back. I'm not involved in the National Liberal campaign or any campaign at all. I'm just kind of doing it as a member of the media, as you mentioned at the outset. I've got my website, and I'm trying to be as fair as possible. In my heart, I'm a liberal, but I'm trying to be fair to all of the parties and give credit where I see credit due and criticize where I think they deserve some criticism. And so that's what I've been doing, and it's been a lot of fun.
What did you make of last week's debate?
I thought Dion did very well in the French debate, and, you know, Doucette did very well, too. You know, he always does, and he benefited from it, and I think Mr. Dion did as well a little bit. And then in the English debate, I really saw Jack Layton as the winner. You know, the line I used later on, I used, being a Canadian, I couldn't help myself, I used the hockey analogy. I saw in the English debate Harper kind of playing the role of a goalie. He knew he wasn't going to score, but he was trying to keep the puck out of the net. Dion was on the ice. He was doing okay, but he didn't score, and he needed to score. Layton was everywhere. You know, he was forward. He was defenseman, had his elbows up. He was in the corners. He was really dominating the game. You know, May was back in the dressing room, still suiting up. I don't think she's ready for that league yet. And, you know, Duceppe was asleep on the bench. So that was my hockey analogy for the campaign.
That's a great analogy, yeah. The narrowing of the Conservatives' lead in the polls, can we count that to their performance in the debate, or what do we...
No, it's the economy. There are two campaigns that have taken place here. Right? At the start, it was kind of Google gaffes. It was like what you saw in the first 3 weeks of the campaign. It was well-oiled conservative machine, you know, beleaguered liberal campaign, you know, lots of Google gaffes, lots of things happening like that. And then all of a sudden, there was this switch-up. You know, it was just like the 95 Quebec referendum, as a matter of fact, where there was a switch up in the middle of the campaign, you know, where Parizeau left and Bouchard took over. This thing is very similar in that all of a sudden the economic woes that have been besetting the United States just crossed the border. You know, they've been there for months, but I think none of us really expected them to move across the border as quickly and as with the ferocity with which they've done. And it's really caught the Tories off guard. I think it's caught all the parties off guard, because none of them have had a response that I think is particularly impresses Canadians. Everybody's kind of looking to them to say, well, here's what we're going to do. And so far, that hasn't really been forthcoming.
So the Conservatives' lead has shrunk, but does that mean that the Liberals have gone up in the polls, do you think?
Not really. They're just not bleeding as much as they were. And the Tories have shrunk back a little bit, you know, to their traditional zone where they were in 2006 and 2004. It's the parties who have got smiles on their faces is the Bloc and the NDP and the Green Party. Green Party's in double digits. The Bloc was on its way to extinction in Quebec and is now absolutely crushing the Tories. And the NDP, you know, with Layton, have really run a good campaign. You know, Layton has been very disciplined, and he's impressed a lot of people who probably thought they weren't going to be impressed.
And the possibility of them overtaking the Liberals for official opposition, is that possible?
No, I don't think so. There's been a couple polls there, one by Angus Reid, that I just didn't believe. You know, the NDP vote is a lot like the Tory vote. It's very motivated, but it tends to be concentrated. So, for example, the Tory vote, you know, whatever it is nationally, you can always take a couple points out of it because they have wasted vote in places like Alberta and Saskatchewan. You know, so what I mean by that is they can't win more seats in Alberta. They already have all of them. And so in these circumstances, you know, I think that, you know, what the NDP is doing is really focusing their campaign in BC and parts of Ontario, a little bit of Quebec, and that's what they should be. But still, that's not enough for them to get official opposition.
Back to the Conservatives for just a second. How did they drop the ball? What can they do now for the rest of the campaign, the under a week that we have left?
Well, Harper's got his campaign launch in a couple hours here in Toronto. And that is the latest that any political party has ever launched its campaign platform. Nobody's ever done that, something as significant as that, 1 week before the end of the campaign. My hunch is, I don't know, I'm speculating, but my hunch is they did that because they rewrote it, you know, in light of what's taking place on the economy and what we've talked about. They knew that they had to come up with some pretty good ideas. So my expectation is they're going to be speaking to this Bay Street crowd today to talk about, you know, some of their prescriptions for the coming, you know, economic difficulties. And if they don't do that, they're going to be in big, big trouble because people are really looking to them to come up with, you know, a list of ideas that will assist people in, you know, the difficult times that seem to be coming.
And platforms matter, do they?
They do. Sometimes they don't. I mean, you know, the Red Book, I think, mattered for us. You know, Kretsch held it up, and he said, you know, I've got a great team, and I've got a plan. And even if people didn't read the Red Book, it gave them the assurance that Jean Kretsch had thought about these things, he and his team had thought about these things, and they had kind of an integrated plan. They thought about this stuff. People want, you know, the old Reform Party way of polling everybody on every single issue that came up, they don't want that. Right? They're saying, look, we hired you for 4 years, and we want you to go and do the job. And go and do the job. And the platform allows them to derive some comfort that they are kind of your curriculum vitae. You know, it's your CV, and they're looking at that and saying, okay, these guys are appropriate. I can hire them to do this job. So the green shift, to me, was not the right resume to put forward. You know, in the summer of 2008, when people were paying $1.40 a liter for gas, they just didn't want to hear that they would be paying more. You know, I know all environmental groups thought it was the right thing to do. I thought it was bad politics, because if you do it in these circumstances, you know, you lose, and then you never get an opportunity to do something like that again. So the focus is turned over to the economy, and I think that's where everybody thinks it needs to be right now.
If you were part of the Liberal campaign, what would you advise Dion to do in this week that we have left?
Economy, economy, economy. It's what he's doing. He's doing what he should do, and he needs to also make sure that he's including, you know, Bob Rae and Michael Ignatius and John McCallum. He's got some really serious firepower on his bench to really know the economy, who are well known on Bay Street and Howe Street, and know how to talk to the big players and talk about these issues in a knowledgeable way. Those are the people he needs to be getting out there with him.
Does Does that make him look weak, though, bringing those guys forward? It certainly did in the beginning of the campaign, or so I thought, or others thought.
I don't think so, because they're just very impressive people. You know, Ken Dryden and Michael Ignatieff and Bob Ray. I mean, they're impressive as hell. You know, and my line throughout the campaign, because Tories have said, oh, well, it makes him look weak. And I said, okay, well, name me the Minister of National Revenue. Name me the Minister of Veterans Affairs. Nobody can name them, because the entire government is Stephen Harper. So when Stephen Harper makes a mistake, like he's arguably done on the economy, well, then it hits all of them. Whereas with Dion, he can say, well, look, if you don't like me, I got this Michael Ignatieff guy. I got this Bob Ray guy. Kretschmann did the same thing in 93, and it obviously kind of worked out.
Your last book was The War Room. How do you rate the war rooms of the Liberals? Especially, I guess, that ad with the John Howard and the Stephen Harper speech, that was pretty good, wasn't it?
Absolutely. That was the war room win of the campaign. I thought the Liberal war room hadn't been making mistakes, but had been kind of invisible up until that point. And when they pulled off that, you know, and there was another Google check, right? They did the Google on, you know, Harper's speech, and they found in Google Howard's name, the words showing up at the same time. That was a huge, huge win. Stomped all over the Tory message for days. And it also reminded people about Harper's position on Iraq, which is very damaging. Huge win. I can't think of an equivalent huge win by the Tories. You know, the Tory war room has got people in it like Ezra Levant, which tell you all you need to know. You know, the stalkaholic.
Elizabeth May, you mentioned earlier that she's not really ready for this arena yet. Will she win her seat, do you think?
No. And that, you know, I mean, that's an example, I think, of how she's well-intentioned, but just a hell of a rookie. Why in God's name she would pick a seat like that? I think other people on her team actually have a shot, even in places like Alberta, of, you know, doing well in this campaign. But, you know, by her picking that seat against somebody as popular as Peter MacKay, in a riding as Tory as that one, it said to people that, you know, maybe she was a shill for the Liberal Party. It said to people that she wasn't serious. It was a big, big, big mistake.
And the presidential race down south, are you paying attention to that at the same time?
I'm obsessed by it. I'm a hugest Obama fan. Like, I've got, as I'm sitting here talking to you, I've got an Obama lawn sign above my head. I've got an Obama sign on either side of my window. I'm kind of out of control, actually.
There's a debate tonight between McCain and Obama.
Yeah, I was supposed to be commenting on it, actually, for Newsweb, but I bowed out because there's this punk band in town, so I wanted to see them instead. So,
why is it, do you think, that... it seems to me that in any other setting, it would be a cakewalk for Obama. But at this point in time, where we're just under a month before the American election, and we still don't really know what will happen. Or do you? Do you have an idea? Do you have a sense of what will happen?
Well, the Tories are the Tories. That's right, the slip. Yeah. The Republicans are going, you know, it's the old Lee Atwater, Karl Rove playbook, you know, linking Obama to terrorism and all that kind of, you know, pardon my phrase, bullshit. And I don't think it's going to sell with the American people. American people are going through the biggest economic upheaval ever. They've seen this trick before, you know, the swift voting of John Kerry and Al Gore, and that stuff may have worked before. I think the American people are smart, and they're not going to fall for that stuff again. They want to hear about the economy, and they know that John McCain's party are the people who have presided over the biggest economic decline since the Great Depression.
And do you have a prediction for next week for the Canadian race?
I think we're going to end up with where we were. You know, the Liberals will be down a bit because of Ontario and some losses in splits in BC. The Tories will be up a little bit. The NDP will be up a little bit, maybe the Bloc up a little bit, maybe a couple of Greens in the House of Commons. But I think we're going to more or less have what we had before. So everybody's going to go, hey, why don't we just spend, like, you know, tens of millions of dollars to get us where we were? Why did we do this? And that'll be a question Mr. Dion and Mr. Harper are going to have to answer.
And what does that mean for Dion and his leadership?
Oh, I don't know. I would imagine he's going to say, I'm entitled to stick around. And you know, there's going to be people in the Liberal Party who agree with that. And there's going to be people who don't agree with that. The big problem that Stéphane Dion has got is he's not very good at raising money. You know, he's a policy guy and so on. But the Liberal Party has been a financial disaster for a while now, you know, to the extent that the NDP is better at raising money than the Liberals now. And I think the Liberal Party is going to be looking at whether Mr. Dion has the ability to do better on the fundraising front, because you know, they need to do that better. It's just crucial in modern politics in 2008.
Have you read the Julie Quillard book?
I haven't, and it probably is going to sell more copies than Paul Martin's book.
Warren, it was great having you on again, and I appreciate this. And
okay, Joe.
The website is called warrenkinsella.com. And for the commentary, I'm Joseph Planta.